Okay. This is Mike Al from Appalachian State University. It's March the 10th, 2010, and I'm with Pat Spaulding, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Pat. So if you would introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Okay. I'm Pat Spaulding. I'm originally from Massachusetts. I've lived in a lot of different places before ending up here in Asheville, North Carolina. One of those places was Papua New Guinea, where I lived for 16 years.
Wow.
I was kind of like with an organization similar to the Peace Corps. It was kind of halfway between Peace Corps and missionary under the Department of Education. But those were difficult years of trying to be straight.
Yeah.
I was married and had three children during that part of my life.
Wow.
And came back from there and spent some time living in Virginia, where I worked at a Christian university. And there was a lot of it was a conservative part in the Shenandoah Valley. And it was very controversial, the whole gay thing. It was interesting because it was a Mennonite university.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was very much into the peace movement and conflict transformation. And you could be a convicted murderer, and that would be okay, but you could not be gay.
Wow.
And during that time, after just working with counselors and doing my own study to try to figure out things, I finally decided, and my husband had known all along, I mean, before we were even married, that I was gay, but just trying to get God to heal me. And anyway, I just came to the conclusion that it was really okay to be gay. And I was pretty outspoken about it. Wrote a chapter in a book, which I read to a group of people at my church one evening. And soon after that, was invited to leave my position at the university. And I really had no idea what direction I was going. I knew I needed to leave my marriage so that my husband could experience being married to somebody who was straight, but I hadn't really thought that I would ever find anybody myself. I didn't really know any gay people, but soon did meet the person who I'm now partnered with, and we both were ready to live someplace else, and we moved to Asheville.
Wow, I'll ask you about that in a second. So so you got married, but you already sort of knew before then? How early did you?
Oh, well, we have a picture of me in the hallway with a little cowgirl outfit on. I was probably two or three, but I can remember that.
Wow.
When I got that little outfit, being so disappointed that it came with a skirt, not pants.
Huh.
I just always was a tomboy, and when the other girls were getting crushes on boys, I was getting crushes on the other girls.
Mm-hmm.
I just always, that's the way I was.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I had lots of boyfriends in high school, it was more the challenge of just trying to get the coolest guy to, ask you for a date. Once he asked me for the date, I was out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was different, but I didn't have any role models, and I think that's a huge thing. I just thought, gay people were strange, and I didn't know if they were bad, but I thought maybe they were, and I knew I wasn't bad.
Do you remember how you sort of came to pick up messages about that? I mean,
whether
where
it
you
was
picked up the bad idea or what, you know.
Well, I remember maybe it was junior high school.
Uh-huh.
In some class, one of the girls wanted one of the other girls to scratch her back,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a couple of the girls said, "What are you, a lesbian or something?"
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "What does that mean?" You know, I had no idea what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Oh, that's girls who like other girls instead of boys," you know, and it was obviously a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at that age, the most important thing is to be popular and...
Mm-hmm.
I sure didn't want to be like that, and I guess that's where it began, and then just a lot of introspection, you know, just trying to figure it out and constantly falling in love with girls
mm-hmm.
who didn't fall in love with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and...
Did they know?
Well, not until I was, a sophomore in college,
mm-hmm.
And... Yeah, there was another college girl who had become my roommate,
mm-hmm.
and at one point I did tell her,
mm-hmm.
and I just remember how scary that was, mm-hmm. you know, and she seemed to go along with it, you know, somewhat. She was straight,
mm-hmm.
but I guess I see sexuality as a on a continuum from straight to gay, and she was maybe in the middle somewhere. So we were together off and on for 3 years, and actually it was that breakup that I think pushed me over the edge into just feeling like I can't do this anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's when I really got into being a Christian and just pleading with God to take it away.
Mm-hmm.
And I had broken a lot of young men's hearts, you know, and I hated that. You know, I enjoyed their friendship so much, you know, and I would be encouraged by other friends, you know, they would say, "Oh, so-and-so is just the nicest guy, you know, why don't you keep going out with them?" You know, and I just couldn't explain why, and I would end up hurting, you know, the person, and so I just felt like I couldn't keep doing that. I didn't
mm-hmm.
know what else to do.
Wow, and so that led to your getting married.
Yeah, that was kind of, it was an interesting relationship. We only knew each other for 3 weeks when
wow.
we got engaged, and we were committed to, because we were Christians and, you know, pretty... zealous Christians at that, we were committed to not having any physical intimacy at all until we were married. And, you know, I kept thinking that it was going to be okay, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, once we were married, I realized, oh, well, no, it's not really okay.
No sudden magic change.
Nope. But I was also committed, you know, I just felt like, you know, I'm married, I'm going to be the best Christian wife I can be, and I remained married and faithful for 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's something. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And went to New Guinea.
Right.
And how much time did you spend there?
We were there 16 years.
16 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And in some ways, I guess it was a little easier there. I didn't have Well, we were just off in the jungle, you know.
Right, yeah, okay. And so eventually you, well, of course, came back to the States
mm-hmm.
and decided to make a change.
Well, I tried everything. I mean, I can't even tell you how many counselors
yeah.
I saw. Most were Christian counselors who didn't know what to do with me. You know, I would tell them, I really think that I'm gay, and they would just say, "Well, you can't be because you're not in a relationship, are you?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm married and, you know, I'm not in a relationship with another woman." And they'd say, "Well, you're not gay."
Wow.
And I would just say, "No, you don't understand."
Right.
It's something inside me. And when we came back, I tried Exodus, and that was kind of the final straw. Almost the final straw. I remember going to, I think it was a 5-day conference with, you know, hundreds of other people, and many of them had been going to Exodus conferences for years and involved with Christian counseling. And
is that one of those You Can Beat It programs?
It is. Okay. It's, I can't think of how they describe it, but yeah, you just trust God and it'll go away. You know, I had been trusting God for a long time and it still hadn't gone away. Mm. And I just looked at their literature and the whole thing seemed to be, you know, if you're gay, then you're sinful and you're not trusting God. And I just thought, but I have been trusting God and I'm not, you know, any more sinful than anybody else. And it just didn't make sense. But then at that conference, I met so many other people who said, yeah, we're waiting for it to go away too. I didn't meet anybody who was having any success in, you know, their life changing, except for people who it sounded like maybe never really were gay in the beginning. They were, you know, maybe bisexual and, you know, in the middle of that continuum somewhere. And like one woman who just said, I just wanted somebody to love me, you know, and other people who maybe had been abused as children and perhaps had some kind of, you know, their life, their sexuality was injured somehow because of that abuse. Mm-hmm. So when they were able to get over that, then they were turned out to be straight anyway. Mm-hmm. But I didn't meet anybody who was like me, mm-hmm. who really got anywhere with it. And then I guess my last person who I talked with said that, well, she supposedly was some kind of Christian spiritual healer who would somehow help you to figure out where in your family there may have been some kind of curse or something. And I met with her a number of times, and she finally just gave up on me, and she said, I really don't know what to say, you know. And so then I went to another counselor, and who was not specifically a Christian counselor. And I remember her saying at the, you know, our first session, you know, what can I do for you? You know, what are you trying to accomplish? And I said, well, I just need to know if I'm gay or not. Mm-hmm. You know, and so she asked me a few questions and then she said, I think you are. And at that moment, I just felt a huge load off. You know, I just felt like, wow, okay, I am. You know, and my husband and I had been talking about it, you know, forever, and just trying to figure out.
So you were working through that while you were married.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm paranoid. I check every once in a while to make sure that nothing has happened.
That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And my husband had become part of a an online group for spouses of gay people.
Huh.
And it was, sometimes it would be really frustrating because he would say, well, there's this guy online who's gay and he talks about how, you know, he loves his wife so much that he's not going to let that, you know, get in the way of them having a good marriage and taking care of their kids. And, you know, and he'd show me emails from this guy and I'd just shake my head and say, he's lying. and it was hard at work too, because, you know, I would it just felt like I was constantly falling in love with women, you know, who were straight. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was working at this Christian university and they might be colleagues or other students. Mm-hmm. And that was just bad. You know, I couldn't be letting that happen, you know, and I was frustrated because I wished I could feel that way for my husband, mm-hmm. and I didn't. And I wished, and he was having a hard time with his self-image, and it seemed to be partly related to the fact that I didn't have physical feelings for him. So I just felt like it was going to, in the long run, do us all a big favor if I just said enough. Mm-hmm. And then we started seeing a marriage counselor together. And at one point in our session with her, she, you know, she was trying to fix the marriage, you know, and I said, you know, I'm not straight, you know, how can you fix the marriage? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, what I hear you saying is that you're ready to give up on it. And I said, yeah, I am. And at that point, we just realized, yeah, it's over. Mm-hmm. And I had already looked for teachable opportunities, you know, to tell my kids who were, let's see, the youngest one was in high school, and the two older ones were in college, well, and out of college. So they knew I was gay, but they just always figured I would be with their father. Yeah, so we just had to break the news to them, and it was really hard, but, and I'm still convinced it was a good thing to do, and the timing was perfect. My husband married someone else almost immediately, and now we're all living happily ever after.
That's good. So, and how long was it before you met your partner?
We had met a couple times before. Professionally, mm-hmm. And I didn't know she was gay, but when I was meeting with the last counselor, mm-hmm. She had told me about a group, somebody she knew who was involved with a group of women who were gay in straight marriages. It was a support mm-hmm. group. Mm-hmm. And that kind of linked me up with this person so that I could find out more about the group and everything. And she introduced me to the person who's now my partner, who I never knew was gay. And yeah. So she was very supportive toward the end when I was going through hard times of the divorce and everything.
Wow. So this would have been in Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm. That was Virginia.
And why the choice to move to North Carolina?
Well, I had never been to Asheville, but my partner had been here on vacations. Mm-hmm. And I had come with her a time or two for... she had come for a job interview once, and we just came for... kind of a holiday, and where we lived was so conservative, and Asheville seemed to be less conservative, so I didn't feel like I could stay where I was anymore, so it was just, we heard it was a gay-friendly place.
Okay. How long ago was this?
Let's see, 5 years ago.
Okay, so you've been here 5 years. Mm-hmm. So you'd heard of Asheville being fairly progressive then, but had you heard anything about the rest of North Carolina or the rest of the sort of Western Mountain area?
Well, even a realtor who we dealt with, who was also a lesbian, told us the further you get away from Asheville, the less... accepting it is, and so we were actually a little bit afraid to look any further out than we already are.
Is this considered out of Asheville?
We're right on the edge.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But any further, it could be a little scary.
Okay. Have you found that to be true?
Yes.
Since you've been here? Is that right? Mm-hmm. What leads you to that?
Even this neighborhood.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, well, because we go out and take a walk every morning.
Uh-huh.
And we have been harassed.
Really?
Yeah. When we were out for a walk one day, we're just walking up one of the roads, and all of a sudden I just felt like something was behind me, and I turned around, mm-hmm. and there was a car right, like, 3 feet behind me, just going really slowly right behind wow. me. And I just jumped out of the way, and the car pulled into a driveway, and the man got out of the car and just started yelling at me and saying, "You don't belong here. This is a private road. You get out of here." And he was just really nasty. And I, you know, at the time just wondered, what was that all about?
Wow.
And that was after living here for at least a couple of years. And who's to say that that was because the two of us were together? I mean, we weren't holding hands mm-hmm. or anything. Mm-hmm. My partner was actually in front of me about mm-hmm. 10 feet. She's a faster walker. Mm-hmm. But then not long after that, we were taking our walk another day, and this man and his wife or girlfriend were walking their dog. And we walked by them, and they just laughed, you know, and said, "You two are disgusting."
Wow.
You know, and we didn't even do anything. You know, it was just like, you know, where did that come from? You know, we're just taking a walk in the neighborhood.
Wow.
And not long after that, we found a dead squirrel out by the front door, and we just wondered, you know, where did this dead squirrel come from? We just walked right outside the front door, and right there was a dead squirrel, you know, and nobody could have run over it right there. And then not long after that, there was another dead squirrel out there, and you know, so who knows if that's where it came from or not. But there haven't been very many friendly neighbors.
Hmm. Are there any of your neighbors friendly, encouraging, supportive?
There is one woman up the street who also takes walks occasionally. She has been nice. And let's see, that's about it though. Mm-hmm. Her husband used to be outside working mm-hmm. in the yard a lot, and I used to have some nice conversations with him. He has since passed away. Mm-hmm. But they've always been nice mm-hmm. to us. There's another woman who lives further up the street who's been mm-hmm. pretty interesting. She actually did have us over once. And with some other people, and I remember while we were there, she said something like, "There are children here, so don't say anything about being gay."
Oh, wow.
We never went back there again. It just was too weird.
Huh, I can appreciate that. So is it sort of then more that your neighborhood, at least, mm-hmm. I guess, is more of
conservative,
keep your business in mm-hmm. your house kind of... Do you feel safe in your neighborhood?
Not particularly, no.
Not particularly?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. As a matter of fact, I'm a realtor mm. now here mm. and understand how important it is for people to find a neighborhood before they find their house that mm. they like. And I wish that we had done that. Mm. It's not easy to do, you know, to find a neighborhood where you feel comfortable. But I think that that's really important.
Wow.
And we like this house, and we like, you know, all the trees and the yards mm-hmm. and everything, but we don't like the neighborhood.
Mm. What about Asheville, the town, the city? Do you feel differently when you're in Asheville?
Well, it's so diverse that, we wouldn't hold hands or anything like that. It's hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on how I happen to feel that day.
mm-hmm. Do you get the sense that the city, just in general, is more welcoming or positive or affirming than what you've experienced sort of out on the edges?
Yeah, I guess I would say that it's generally more progressive and accepting in the city than it is on the edges. Hmm. But I'd still say that, you know, probably anywhere you go, there's going to be an element that's a little scary.
Yeah. Do you ever hear about sort of crimes related to hate crimes in this area? Is there much of that?
No. I mean, there may be. I just haven't been aware of it. Hmm. But I... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess I'm not into hearing about that sort of thing. So.
Okay. So now, are you all very connected to the community or to
well, I guess
parts of a community? Or
there is quite a good size gay community here, and with all kinds of social opportunities. And we've taken advantage of some of those opportunities. We're not terribly outgoing people. Mm-hmm. There are a couple women's groups that have dances and stuff, and we're just not into into that or into, you know, going to bars. And mm-hmm. Some of the entertainment doesn't start until about 11 or midnight, and we're fast asleep by then, you know. But, you know, when they have the Pride, annual mm-hmm. Pride, well, we always go to that. And, mm-hmm. And we get emails from the local groups and mm-hmm. just kind of keep it up on mm-hmm. what's going. Before we moved here, we started being involved with one of the email groups. And, mm-hmm. So that was good to know that there really was a gay community here.
Mm-hmm. So I guess compared to living in Virginia, mm-hmm. has living here sort of connected you more to the community or less or about the same?
I guess we're aware of it. We can take more advantage of the social opportunities if we want to.
Mm-hmm. So they're there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where I think in Virginia I was more aware of a political movement where here I feel like there's a big social thing going on, but I don't see anything political. Mm-hmm. Where in Virginia there was definitely political stuff, but not a whole lot socially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was talking with someone I interviewed earlier about the local politics,
mm-hmm.
And whether or not there is, whether the politics sort of line up with what I, you know, what people say about how warm the city is, mm-hmm. and how affirming the city is, but maybe there are issues around politics where that's not necessarily congruent.
Well, I just have felt like when we've gotten together with other women, nobody's really interested in talking about, you know, mm-hmm. gay marriage being legalized or anything like that. They just want to, you know, get together and play croquet or whatever, you know. And where we would really like to talk about, you know, mm-hmm. some activism or, you know.
That's interesting. That's surprising.
And one year, I think it was National Coming Out Day or mm-hmm. something, and I sent an email out to some of the lesbian groups and said, is there anyone out there who would be interested in going with their partner to City Hall and ask about getting married just as a mm-hmm. form of activism, you mm-hmm. know, not to cause a lot of trouble or anything, but just to do it. And I didn't get one response,
wow.
not one. And that went out to a bunch of people.
Wow.
And people just don't wow. seem interested.
That's interesting. You'd think that there'd be a lot of power behind the gay and lesbian dollar here.
You'd think. Mm. Well, and that's another thing too. There are some gay-owned businesses, but I can only think of one or two where they display a rainbow flag. Yeah, there really is no visible gay presence here. Hmm. You know, and as a realtor, I have gay people ask me, well, where do the gay people live? Mm-hmm. Well, they just live all over.
Wow.
You know, there's no pocket. And there's no, I mean, there for a short time was a little gay coffee house.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily known as being a gay coffee house, but it was owned by some gay people, and they may have had a rainbow flag. I can't remember for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We have a local gay newspaper. It's actually seems to be more for the men than the women,
mm-hmm.
but it has gone from being relatively sizable mm-hmm. to being semi-microscopic.
What's it called?
It used to be called Out in Asheville, and now it's called Stereotyped.
Oh. Hmm.
And, yeah, it was a good-sized paper. Came out monthly, and now it comes out every 2 months, and it's more like a brochure than a paper. And it's mainly articles for men, by men.
Hmm.
There's not, I mean, even though the editor is a woman,
hmm.
There's not really much in it for women. You know, years ago there was a gay gift shop downtown. There's nothing like that anymore.
Did these businesses get run out, or did they just sort of fall to online purchasing, or?
Well, the little gift shop, I think the person who ran that just retired.
Mm.
She just was tired of doing it and retired.
Mm.
I think the paper. Yeah, I guess they just couldn't sell any more ads.
Hmm.
They have a website too,
hmm.
but the economy, I'm sure, had a part in that.
So, how do people connect here when they move to this community?
I guess just check out the online groups. There is a regular local alternative newspaper, and I think it lists groups there. And then just go to the monthly meetings, and like one of the groups for lesbians, or probably a couple of them, do hikes, and they get
mm-hmm.
together for movies and book clubs. And
mm-hmm.
you just gradually find out about the groups and get involved.
Okay. Can you sort of recall some of what the groups are?
The names of the groups?
Yeah.
OLA is Older Lesbian Energy, and I think it's mainly women over 50, mostly retired women. And they have picnics and
mm-hmm.
do all kinds of fun things. And then ALPS, Asheville Lesbian Professional Society, I think. They have a monthly dinner, which is pretty well attended, and some other social events, and they have a website as well.
Mm-hmm.
And LIM, L-I-M, stands for Lesbians in the Mountains. They get together for dances and all kinds of things. I think one of the things I've heard about that group is you can just put out an email to the group and say, I'm going to the concert this weekend. Anybody who wants to join me, let me know if you're,
mm-hmm.
we can meet, for dinner beforehand or whatever. So there's definitely a way to connect with people that way. And then there are other groups that are a little bit further out. There's one called Gorge Us that meets at, kind of between Asheville and Lake Lure. There's a gorge, Hickory Nut Gorge, and it's men and women, and they, I think, have a monthly potluck at somebody's house. So there's a lot of stuff going on. There's Stella's Place, that's mainly an online group. And there's, oh, there's another one too. Might be Sheville After Dark. I think that's what it is. And that's an online group, and they occasionally get together for what they call coffee clatches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of social stuff.
Now, in terms of, I guess, the social and other aspects, do men and women tend to socialize together in this area very much, or are they
not
pretty separated?
Not a lot, yeah. Well, there's the Gorgeous group, but other than that, it seems like, I'm not sure what all the men's groups are, but they seem to go different directions. And I know there was there were a couple women who wanted to they're developers, and they bought some land here, and they were planning to put in a community.
Okay.
They might be from the Boone area.
And there's one of those in Boone, well, just outside of Boone.
That might be who they are.
Interesting.
And last time I talked with them, they had joined the Chamber of Commerce, and they had interviewed people here about what they would like in a community, and they bought some property, and they were planning to develop it, but I think because of what's happened with the economy and real estate, they probably put that on hold for now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you think that there's a difference of any significance about what it's like to live here in this area, broad area anyway, between lesbians and gay men? Is it sort of the same experience, or is it a different?
Yeah, I'm not sure. From talking with various people, I get the impression that the gay men have more money. that can have an effect on how you live.
I
know when I've talked with people about real estate, I mean, there are definitely some women who are secure financially, but a lot of the lesbians here are not. Finding a decent job has just been a real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not having health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I remember before we worked here talking with some women online, and they said, if you want a job, you probably have to go to Cherokee, you know, and work at the casino there. It's, you know, and where more of the men are professionals, you know, who just seem to have a more secure financial situation. And, well, like I said, too, the publication that's here, you know, I keep picking it up thinking there'll be something of interest to me, and it's just, you know, it seems like it's mostly written by men for men. And most of the clubs downtown, we're not, you know, into doing the clubbing thing, but even if we were, they seem mostly, you know, for the men.
What about, in terms of the groups that you're part of, the women's groups, and I guess the men's groups too, do you get a sense of is there much diversity? Do people sort of come from all races, backgrounds, and in Asheville together to do things, or is it sort of separate?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Asheville in general is not. I've heard people say it's very diverse, but I don't see it.
Is that right?
It seems like a pretty white town to me. I mean, there definitely is the African American community here, and they generally are pretty conservative. Like right now, there's been this controversy with the city possibly giving health insurance to domestic partners. And the city council vote was 4-2, and one of the two is the mayor, who's African American. And the people who've been really outspoken against it are African-American preachers in the local churches. I do happen to have a pretty good male friend who is let's see, I'm not sure exactly what he is. He's not white.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I don't know. And I know maybe one woman who's African American. But there doesn't seem to be much diversity.
Are there social groups that you're aware of that sort of tailor different?
No.
Okay, so it's just the absence of people who
right.
are... Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, another question I have for you. As you know, I've been admiring your artwork, your beautiful paintings.
Thank you.
And someone else that we interviewed had talked about the connection that they perceive between art and an art community
uh-huh.
and the community for being gay and lesbian. So do you have any sense of that, or do you feel
well, in general,
around that?
I just feel like creative people are more accepting.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. I've definitely encountered some very conservative artists. But in general, yeah, I do see a significant correlation between the creative community and acceptance. As a matter of fact, my mother was an artist, and I do remember growing up as a kid, going with my parents to some art communities
mm-hmm.
where there were people who I think were probably gay. And just, you know, feeling like that was just part of the creative community.
Mm-hmm.
That, I have early memories of going to places like Provincetown,
mm-hmm.
Massachusetts, mm-hmm. that was an art colony at the time, mm-hmm. And just being around people who I thought, you know, might be like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, two women who seem to be together,
mm-hmm.
or two men. Actually, yeah, that was kind of an early introduction to what being gay was,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm sure that yeah, the huge art community here is part of
mm-hmm.
being accepted.
And what about in terms of spirituality and religion, do you, and I guess particularly you would have some insight into this,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Do you get a different sense of the relationship between religion
mm-hmm.
and sexuality here?
Yeah, actually, I worked part time or for a short time at a place called Holy Ground. It was a kind of a women's spiritual life center, and they were definitely, well, it was started by two lesbians,
mm-hmm.
who were graduates of seminary, and there were a number of, there was definitely acceptance there, which was so refreshing to me, after coming from a church background that was definitely not accepting,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still, I guess, grieving my experience with the church and not feeling comfortable in any church, whether they're accepting or not. But I have visited a few of the churches here, and it's been wonderful to see how supportive they are. I know they're not all supportive, but it seems like there are a bunch that are supportive, and that's great. When I was involved with Holy Ground, there was a discussion group on, I guess it was on gay rights or something, and they invited a woman from PFLAG
mm-hmm.
to come and talk about what it's like to be gay and gay rights and everything, and she was straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting, though, that they seemed to, that these straight people who are very open and supportive of gay people seem to feel more comfortable having another straight person come and tell them about gay rights and
mm-hmm.
and what it's like to be gay.
It's like, you know, a translator.
Yeah, almost, exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
An interpreter.
And, you know, I sat there and at least half the group knew I was gay and nobody was asking me anything. It was very, very odd. But, yeah, that was kind of an interesting experience. And I think that's not terribly unusual. I attended some PFLAG meetings with my mother and I think I was the only gay person there, and I felt like they felt a little funny around me, even though they were supportive of me. They felt more comfortable talking with each other about gay issues than they did talking with me.
That's an interesting thing that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So Asheville, sort of outside of Asheville anyway, has a reputation as sort of the new gay hotspot, or the next gay mecca, or at least for North Carolina, anyway. So do you think that holds true?
No, no. I feel like it's lost something. I think maybe maybe 10 years ago it was moving in that direction, but I just feel like now, no. I think the gay population's pretty invisible. It's like in a parallel dimension or something.
So have they blended in so much that now it's just not really much of an issue, or?
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's not much of an issue, but it's, it's hard to describe. In some ways, I guess it's not that much of an issue. I've been to two restaurants in the last 6 months where the server was trans. Mm. And, you know, this person obviously didn't have trouble not only being able to get a job, but a job where they're out in the public, you know, and you know, it's not, was so that wasn't a big deal. That wasn't a very progressive area of town. But yeah, it's hard to know. I guess when I say I don't feel like it's a gay mecca, it's the gay population is just blending in. You know, it's like they're just living as straight people. Almost like everybody's disguised, but you know,
there's no little gay sort of gay area, no particularly neighborhood that's sort of like the gay neighborhood or anything like that. Okay.
And like I said, even some of the gay owned businesses, you'd never know they were gay owned. And gay people don't congregate there, but there are several gay bars, or at least a couple.
Well, now, before we started taping, we were talking with your partner, and I know that she's done some writing or some journalism around the transgender community here. So do you know much about that, or can you speak much to that community, or how?
A bit.
Okay, I'm curious to hear.
Yeah, we've become friends with some of the transgender people here, and had somebody do some work on our house who was referred to us. I mean, someone just said, you know, I told someone I thought it would be great if we could find a woman plumber, you know, to do some work for us. And so they said, oh, I know a woman plumber, and it turned out to be a trans person. And that was great. I mean, we never talked about the fact that she was trans, but and we've you know, become pretty good friends with some of the local trans people, and I think it's great that there's a place where they can live and be who they are.
So people don't really run into much harassment or issues around that.
Well, I think they probably do. They probably do. It's yeah, it's not easy. It's easier here than it probably would be some other places. But and it depends, you know, like if you're having a job, you know. Like recently we had somebody come to give us an estimate for some roof work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we immediately didn't feel comfortable with this person. You know, whenever we hire somebody to do some work around the house, we want somebody who we're going to feel comfortable with, and probably at least half the people we don't feel comfortable with.
It's your house. Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I imagine, you know, if you're trans or gay either, you know, your employer is, you know, has to be a certain kind of person for you to feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And probably most of the employers would not be comfortable with gay or trans people, I would imagine. You'd have to really look hard to find somebody who would be. I work for myself, mm-hmm. so it's I don't have that stumbling block. Mm-hmm. And my partner, I know, has worked places that have been difficult, mm-hmm. even places that say they are mm-hmm. gay friendly.
You know, I thought of this when you said you employ yourself. Don't ask me how my mind works, but here in Asheville, so do you think if one of you was injured or ill or something, would you run into problems at, say, the hospital? Or do you think mm-hmm. that the community is pretty, you know, so accepted and normal here, would people just not give you the kind of hassles that you might get in other places?
That is one thing we checked out before we moved here. We have heard that the hospital is really good mm. about honoring gay relationships. So we're pretty happy with that. And yeah, if you're choosing your doctor too, that's something that we take into consideration. Mm-hmm. You know, how does the doctor feel knowing that you're gay? Because mm-hmm. not all doctors are comfortable mm-hmm. with that. But just in general, the hospital we've heard is pretty good with that. And that's a big deal.
Mm. You can imagine.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I guess you still wouldn't be allowed to visit your partner in jail if you got arrested, though.
Maybe not. Well, I asked you a lot of questions about Boone, about Asheville and the community here. What else would you like to talk about? Hmm. What else would you like to tell about your story?
Let's see. As far as my story goes, one thing that you asked that about Asheville being the next big gay mecca or whatever. Mm-hmm. That is an interesting question because I'm not really sure. I'd be curious to hear how other people answer that. If you're like when we first visited here from someplace else. You know, when you think of a gay mecca, you think, oh, they're going to be rainbow flags, mm-hmm. and there's probably, you know, like a gay community center. Some other towns have gay community center.
I would say that was what my perception uh-huh. of Asheville today yeah. would be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there is none of that. Mm. You know, I know some people tried to start a gay community center, and it just didn't happen. So it seems like all the efforts there have been to, you know, the newspaper, the mm. little, the coffee shop, the gift shop, the Pride event is, you know, not all that great. Mm. One of the things that we noticed about the Pride event was you'd think that the locally owned, gay-owned businesses would be represented there. Mm-hmm. But they have like the food vendors mm-hmm. are not gay. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just food vendors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about all the gay-owned restaurants here, you know, mm-hmm. or other gay-owned businesses? We didn't see them there. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, I can't quite figure it out. Maybe it's a gay mecca just in the fact that a lot of gay or LGBT people are here, and they've successfully managed to kind of disappear into the woodwork. There's just not an obvious presence, which is, I feel like there should be a more obvious presence. And I would like to see more political enthusiasm. And I guess people just don't want to be bothered. They just want to live their lives and talk about gay agenda. There is absolutely no gay agenda. Yeah. When I hear some of the local African-American pastors talk about, you know, the fact that the city council is considering giving benefits to gay people's domestic partners is all part of the gay agenda, you know, to get rid of straight marriage and all that sort of thing. I just think there is no gay agenda at all. But it would be nice if there were, you know, as far as getting human rights, not to, you know, I've got kids and I want them to grow up and have happy marriages, and they're all straight. So, of course, I support straight marriage. Just because I think that we should have gay marriage doesn't mean I don't think we should have straight marriage. It's strange logic. But I would love to see something happen here, like discussion groups between people who are pro-gay and people who are anti-gay. You know, to really get the conversation out there and to really be able to get rid of some of the myths. And it seems like a place like Asheville would be ideal for that. But that's another thing that's just not happening. Other than that, I guess I don't have anything else to say.
Okay. Well, I had you talk a lot. So, no, it passes quickly, doesn't it, the time once we start talking. Well, thank you so much for sharing and talking about your story with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thank you.